But this show will continue to help you understand the things that affect your health while looking for unexpected discoveries along the way. It will also explore thought-provoking ideas and questions, like this one.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In this episode, I'll be discussing the heat-related conditions, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke. Now, we unfortunately live in a time of global warming, and extremes of temperature are no longer the rare events they once were, including in the UK. Each year, millions of people around the world are exposed to the dangers of extreme heat, with more than 5 million dying because of excessively hot or cold conditions. Back in 2003, there was an increase in deaths of 60% amongst people aged over 75 in London in the heat of August that year. And in England that same year, there were over 2,000 excess deaths over the 10-day heatwave period compared with the previous 5 years over the same period. And in the 2009 heatwave here, there were around 300 excess summer deaths compared with previous years. So climate change means we're all more likely to experience extreme summer temperatures, which in turn increases the risk of heat stroke and other heat illnesses in the general population, particularly in those at risk, such as the elderly. Now, in a nutshell, both heat exhaustion and heat stroke are caused by being exposed to too much heat, and it's possible to get them both inside or outside, even if it's not sunny. Now, looking at heat exhaustion first, this is a mild to moderate heat-related illness, with typical causes being hot weather, exercising in the heat, known as exertional heat illness, dehydration, drinking alcohol in hot weather, and overdressing in the heat, especially in clothes that don't allow your sweat to evaporate, such as synthetic fibres or polyester. Now, this is usually a much milder illness than heat stroke, where your body temperature rises even higher and causes serious problems. But if heat exhaustion isn't treated properly, it can then progress to heat stroke.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
The symptoms of heat exhaustion may come on suddenly, especially if you're moving around in hot weather. There are many symptoms, but the usual ones typically are cool, pale and moist skin with heavy sweating, feeling faint or dizzy, tired and fatigued, and experiencing muscle cramps in your arms and legs. There may also be thirst, nausea, headache, and tummy cramps. Now, it's important in heat exhaustion the temperature does not rise above 40 degrees centigrade, so typically between 37 and 40 degrees centigrade, and mental status is intact. This is a very important point and a way of differentiating between heat stroke and heat exhaustion. The symptoms of heat exhaustion tend to be the same in adults and children, although children can also become slightly floppy or sleepy. Now, if you find someone with symptoms of heat exhaustion, the simple way of treating them is to move them to a cool place, such as the shade or an air-conditioned room, lie them down and raise their feet slightly, removing any excess clothing. Get them to drink plenty of fluids, ideally water, but isotonic drinks are also fine to give. Fan them and spray or sponge them with cool rather than cold water. Now, it may surprise you to learn you should not give antipyretics in cases of heat exhaustion. Now, this is because antipyretics aren't effective in reducing high body temperatures purely related to heat. They work only when the body temperature has been raised by pyrogens. Now, fortunately for all of us, patients with mild heat exhaustion generally improve with those simple measures, and symptoms typically resolve within 2 to 3 hours, sometimes much more quickly than that. But if they do persist or worsen, or you believe that heat stroke may be a genuine possibility, then arrange for admission to hospital. Now, if we turn to heat stroke, unlike heat exhaustion, heat stroke is a medical emergency. Clinical features of heat stroke include a core body temperature greater than 40 degrees centigrade and, unlike heat exhaustion, central nervous system dysfunction, by which I mean things like altered levels of consciousness ranging from confusion to coma and seizures. Two main types of heat stroke. One is classical heat stroke due to passive exposure to severe environmental heat, such as during a heat wave, particularly in older people. An exertional heat stroke is due to strenuous physical activity in the heat of a very hot day. Now, this can also include things like firefighters, soldiers, or construction workers, as well as athletes, for example, running a marathon in very hot weather. The term sunstroke and heat stroke are often used alternately, and sunstroke is a form of heat stroke, and the symptoms and risks are the same. But this only happens because of being exposed to too much direct sunlight, such as falling asleep in the sun. And obviously that can also be linked to other problems, such as severe sunburn. The pathophysiology of heat stroke, I'm not going to go into any great detail here, it is complex, but it includes protein denaturation, endotoxin release and thermoregulatory failure, all of which contribute to systemic inflammatory response syndrome, I suppose much like septic shock, and this can lead to multi-organ failure and even death. We distinguish heat stroke from heat exhaustion by the presence of CNS dysfunction, such as confusion and seizures, ataxia, lethargy, and even coma, together with anhidrosis, dry, hot skin. Remember, in heat exhaustion, there was often profuse sweating and moist, clammy skin. In heat stroke, it's dry and it's hot. To treat heat stroke in a community setting initially, whilst waiting for emergency help to arrive, move the patient to a cooler place, remove any excess clothing from them and start rapid active cooling immediately before the patient is transferred to hospital with whatever techniques you have available to you. Now, these include things like wetting and fanning the skin, using cool water towels or wetted ice packs. But it's important to remember to avoid using very aggressive cooling techniques if you're unsure about the diagnosis. we should be aiming to achieve a target temperature of no less than 39 degrees centigrade. So the goal of cooling is not to achieve rapid normothermia. The reason for that is this would result in overshoot hypothermia. Obviously, arrange immediate transfer of that patient to hospital for oxygen, intravenous fluids, and further assessment. Now, fortunately, most younger people recover well from heat stroke, but unfortunately, in older people over the age of 60 with severe heat stroke, almost half may die as a result. And the prognosis in adults depends on several factors, such as the amount of time that patient has remained at an elevated core temperature and the extent of that hyperthermia. Heat stroke takes longer to recover from than heat exhaustion, as it continues to cause inflammation in your body for some time following treatment. So if you've needed treatment for heat stroke, don't do any exercise or any strenuous movement, including walking for long periods, for about a week. When talking to our patients when they're starting to exercise again, only ask them to do so when it's cool and for them to build up lightly and slowly over about 2 weeks. Patients are more likely to make a good recovery from heat stroke if they're in good health and their treatment was quick. So, pulling all this together then, and this will be in the show notes for this episode, heat exhaustion is a mild to moderate heat illness that's typically self-limiting and doesn't usually require hospital treatment. The patient presents with a normal or slightly elevated core temperature, 37 to 39 degrees centigrade, with mild neurological symptoms such as intense thirst, dizziness, syncope, weakness, but an intact mental status, which is one of the key differentials from heat stroke. If untreated, heat exhaustion can progress to heat stroke, although heat stroke can occur without heat exhaustion happening beforehand. By contrast, heat stroke is a medical emergency with a core body temperature greater than 40 degrees centigrade and the presence of central nervous system dysfunction. It may be caused by a passive exposure to severe environmental heat or due to strenuous physical exercise in hot weather. An urgent hospital treatment is required. So that's an overview of how to recognize and treat heat-related conditions, and I do hope you found it helpful.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you. This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.